to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Hi everyone, this is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is a pre-recorded interview for June 21st, 2016 for BBS Radio Station 2, Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 4:55 p.m. And as you can see, I actually have someone in person in my office today. This is Gonzalo Serrano. Did I say that correctly?
Serrano.
Ah, see, I can't roll my R's. Anyway, he has visited me. For those of you that haven't met him yet or had the benefit of meeting him, beautiful soul, one who has contacted me over and over again, and due to the interference, we never connected. But for years, he has been trying very tenaciously to assist, and he is now volunteering with Galactic Connection and really helping us out in a big way. So please, if you ever have a chance, to drop a little email thanking him for his volunteer work. He is really making a difference as far as making sure that we survive all of the hacking and all of the other garbage that is done to the server, etc. So the other reason that he's here today is we both clearly remember our lives together back in the time of Camelot. And one of the things that you've heard me talk about is what's going on with the imbalance between the divine masculine and the divine feminine. I cannot think of a better guy to interview regarding this. And the reason I say that is because when you meet Gonzalo, he is a very knightly kind of gallant kind of guy. He's very polite. He's very kind. He's very gracious. He very much treats you like a lady. This is the type of male that all of us as women so desperately desire in our circle, in our environment. And yet, he has this very strong, quiet inner strength, and yet this very tender quality
of being able to express his emotions and talk to me about what he really feels, really getting deep. So we were both called today to do this interview. We are hoping that this will assist not only all of the guardians out there, but also all of the men out there, because I do work with quite a few male clients, and I am very much understanding that all of you are, and I'm not gonna say all of you, that's not fair, but many of you are really struggling with your role that you play during this transitional period. It's as if the divine feminine has really taken a hold on this planet. Okay. And we're really comfortable within our own power and authority. We've really stepped into our role within that concept and principle. But what I'm finding is that the men have been sent so many mixed signals for so long, and it really kind of been emasculated in a way. We talked a little bit about this. So I thought we would open it up with that. And Gonzalo, feel free. I mean, if you'd like to introduce yourself and, you know, whatever you want to say to the world that's listening.
Sure. So, yeah, my name is Gonzalo. That's how you pronounce it in Spanish. And I work in IT. And like Alexandra said, I tried to contact her before, but for one reason or another, I could not reach her. And finally, I did this year, and I started helping out with her with IT matters. And I'm originally from Chile. I have been in this country for a long time, but through an interesting turn of political events, I left Chile, then I lived in Uruguay for a while, and then still as a kid, I came to the U.S., to the East Coast, and that's where I grew up.
Oh, what an amazing experience. Yeah. So the actual government was under duress? Was it kind of like, you know, fly out of there in a quick way? Or
Not to us directly, but there were a lot of people in Chile, where I'm from, that were having to leave quickly. And it was a lot of my dad's colleagues. My dad worked as an economist, and as a little kid, I remember him getting calls from friends that were telling them that they were being exiled to Italy, for example, or Sweden. And my dad started getting concerned because basically there was a dictator that came to power. His name is Augusto Pinochet.
Yeah.
Or Pinochet, and I'm sure some of you listeners would know about him, and this was around 1973, and so I think my dad realized that he was going to stay in power for a long time, and he didn't want us kids, we were all kids, growing up in that environment. So as soon as a job came up for him in Uruguay, where he had lived before, and actually where I was born when he lived there, we left for Uruguay and we stayed there. And then something similar happened with the dictatorship there. So.
And then you ended up in the United States.
Yeah. Growing up in Maryland. Yep.
In Maryland. Wow.
Yeah.
So an East Coaster.
East Coaster. Yeah. Turned West Coaster. Yeah.
So, you know, what do you feel is one of the greatest challenges for men on the planet today?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Men are I feel like they've fallen behind in their evolution as compared to women overall. And what I mean by that is that ultimately it behooves us all, men and women, to have an even-keeled or a balanced expression in ourselves of feminine and masculine energy. And when it's skewed towards one or the other, then we are limiting ourselves in the possibilities of experiences that we can have, and of sort of approaching situations in a healthier way and being able to cope with them and be successful actually at what our dreams are.
So, I mean, do you feel that men are blocked more so from their heart or from their throat?
All, I would say. Yeah. Especially, I mean, you know, some men would be blocked in their throat because that's the throat chakra and that's your sort of vocal expression of yourself.
Sure.
Some of them are blocked that way. But also in their heart, definitely actually in their heart, I would say, because a lot of them are very, very mental. And that's the source of their knowledge of reality. And it's very logical and very scientific, and it's a sort of a good place for them to be sort of encased in. And it brings about an imbalance that can hurt them and other people.
Sure. So what is it about you that has assisted you in being able to retain and acquire a better balance?
It's something that I've worked on over the years, over the decades, really. I think it helped that I lived in different cultures, and different cultures approach reality in different ways. And having been exposed to that early on allowed me to come to some good conclusions that sort of served as the foundation for me to go on that journey of exploring more feminine energy and sort of also settling into my masculine energy in a healthy way. But it, you know, it entailed reading. I, for example, read Jung. Jung was a proponent mm-hmm. of both female and male sure. energies, The Hero's Journey, and all those books. And that helped me to understand that that's what I needed to do. And, you know, it helps to have, I mean, I was blessed with really nice parents. So I was able to kind of have a good model for what a female energy and a male energy would look like. And I understand, I'm compassionately very, very empathically understanding men that, or people, both men and women, that don't get to have that, and that already kind of handicaps them as they start life
sure.
out.
Sure. Well, so if you had kind of a peaceful childhood with your parents, what did you feel was the reason that you've defined yourself as a, at least part of you is a guardian?
That's a good question, actually.
Thank you.
yeah, because there's just a lot of things that that kind of fall into place in that way. You did something really helpful for guardians, I believe, and that is that you, in your website, you published a list of things, of traits that guardians commonly tend to have.
Yes.
And so I actually, with my analytical engineering brain, I did a study of myself and those traits, and in that list, I outlined which ones were spot on describing me, which ones were a maybe, and which ones were not describing me. And I matched them spot on about 70%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's a good indicator.
Yes.
And that's what I tell a lot of people is, you know, there are a lot of guardians that have extremely challenging childhoods. There's no question about it. And the more high profile your mission is, I find that the more intense your childhood tends to be, either that or you have come in as some sort of, let's just put, some, you know, we have like a lot of different labels, and I don't want to label people, but it's just the best way to try to determine the soul family that we came in with. And a lot of us, you know, if you're like a really badass warrior on the other side, you're going to probably have some really intense challenges when you're a child because you came in literally to take down evil in this reality, in this matrix, in the planet, et cetera. I mean, this is the mother of creation, you know, that we're walking upon. So, it, you know, guardians tend to be pretty serious about that. my question then would be, of that 70%, what were the things that you felt resonated the most for you, you know, as far as guardian qualities, guardian characteristics?
So having an emphasis on impeccable integrity, and to almost to a fault in this sort of matrix reality. And there were other qualities like that I remember seeing, like loyalty, and let's see what else. The necessity to stand up for justice and for but at the same time being fair and equal and respectful of people and compassionate and deeply compassionate.
Beautiful.
Those are some of the qualities that I remember to stand out. There were many, many others.
Right on. In fact, I was going to read something that Jerry put together. I have to actually go find it. So hold on a second. But, you know, one of the things that I feel is really important for the guardians at this point is we are finding ourselves feeling, just a bit. The thing that I'm hearing from just about everybody is we're feeling exhausted. We're feeling frustrated. We're feeling fed up. And we're feeling like, you know, we're just at the end of this road. And I know I'm feeling it too. You know, it's one of those things like our job is very intense and it's the silent partner, so to speak, where we are doing an immense amount of work on the other side. As I remind many of the guardians that I have client calls with, you know, they think they're not doing anything, and that could not be any further from the truth. We all are doing our bit, and you hear me say that all the time. So can you share with them, you guys, what do you feel that you've been doing in the background? Because I know that you're very conscientious about doing your light work.
Yes.
And I really feel that would be assisting people.
Yeah, so I think it's important for people to realize that imagination is very powerful, and you can start out with that and do any kind of light work that strikes your imagination as being beneficial for the whole. And over the years, or over the decades actually, I've picked up from different people on ideas about what to do with light, and then cool. Those have inspired my own creations of what to do. For example, I can go into meditation into the inner planes, and it starts with protecting myself and filling myself up with love. And love is sort of the motor that powers all these exercises, and they can actually be very powerful. So I will generally connect with the earth by imagining, and at first it's imagination, but when you do these meditations over and over again, it just runs automatically. For example, Mother Earth will want to connect with you immediately, and it's sort of a rise of light into your soul, the light of your soul, which generally, in some people it may be here at first or here. And the idea is that you go in an inner place and you lower it to your heart. And then you have the light of Mother Earth rise up and connect into your light. And then you can call on Source to connect from your crown chakra into that light. And then you can, I also connect, for example, to the galactic central sun. And that light also comes in. And it can come in different colors. And then it enriches your own inner light. And it expands it into a toroidal pattern, that with you in the middle, with your heart in the middle. And that's a very powerful pattern already. And then you can engulf that in, say, a violet flame, for those of you that work with that, for example. And I like to also engulf it for protection to engulf that toroidal pattern within a diamond, a crystal diamond that surrounds it. And so you combine all those things together and you have a very, very powerful form that you have for yourself, but you can also expand it out with love onto the planet. Right. Or, for example, I'll do it on Alexandra. I'll surround her house. You can surround your house with it. And the effect that it has on the planet is that it fixes the grid of the planet, or you can visualize the grid being fixed. And the grid can look like anything that you think is there. For example, it can be like a soccer ball of connections, light connections. And you infuse love into it. For example, I have an adorable nephew that's a 2-year-old, and in my interactions with him, I could see just how wonderful he is. And I can tap into that love that's in him and that we share together in our interaction together. And then I can infuse it into these light patterns, and it becomes very, very powerful. And you have to know that you're truly helping the planet and its energy with that, and that the planet itself as a consciousness is profoundly thankful for that work.
Totally agree.
And you can expand that pattern into the solar system as well. And the solar system, I've often actually heard planets say, please, can you expand onto me? And then you can do it onto the galaxy itself, and you can go on and on with this expansion. And it's all energy. And so we are connecting ourselves energetically to that, and helping hold a loving space for all. Nice. And that's essentially what goes on in some of the light work that I do.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. So that's pretty cool. You just gave us a couple good tidbits. You know, I mean, as many of you know, probably the most powerful way to heal is to create your own thing.
Yes.
You know, all of us are just giving you tips, really. I mean, if somebody tells you, hey, this is how I do it, take what works and throw the rest of it away, you know, because we're all ultimately masters. You know, we just have forgotten that. I mean, we're on our road back to remembering that and recapturing that.
Exactly. Know? I completely agree. That's how I eclectically sort of that exercise that I described. I created it eclectically by picking and choosing what I liked from different things, and also by getting hits on from my imagination and my inspiration, my creative inspiration, that this would be something cool to try.
Yeah.
And I over time I do different things. I don't stay stuck on one thing forever. I'll try to mix it up so that it becomes interesting.
That's cool. Yeah. So, you know, you and I have had many lengthy conversations about guardians, and we have a very strong need to reach the guardian population and to assist them. And this goes all the way back to the time of, some of our memories back to the time of the Templars. And as I haven't told a lot of people this, but, you know, when I'm making the oils and the essences for the implant removal process, it is at the point when I'm calling forth the higher self, the Christ self, to come and assist me. And then I ask them to bring forth their core guide or mentor or teacher. And in many cases, they will show me a Knights Templar. And this happened just one too many times. It was blowing my mind to the point where I really, after a lot of conversation with guidance and Father, Mother, God, you know, I came to realize that the guardians did come to planet Earth in the form of the Templars at one time, and that many of us are walking this planet who at one time were Templars. And I actually believe Gonzalo is one of those, and that we knew each other in the time of Camelot. So can you talk a little bit about that as far as, like, you know, your journey and remembering those days and what it's brought up for you?
Yeah, so when I first kind of started realizing that that was something that was in my essence, essentially, was when I watched a movie called Excalibur in the late 80s, was it?
We just watched that again.
Yeah.
We had a call to watch that. Watch that, everybody.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
And I think that movie actually kind of calls out to the male energy of the guardians, because there are counterpart productions like Mists of Avalon that call out to the feminine side.
Oh my God, Mists of Avalon! If you guys haven't seen that, watch that too. That's on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
And both of those movies spoke to me very deeply.
Me too. I cried. Yeah. I cried through all of the Mists of Avalon. I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah, it was quite a, I mean, it was wonderful, just the way that Avalon was portrayed. But Excalibur, for me, for months on afterwards, and maybe even years, it's as if it triggered a ball of energy within me that was like, beckoning me to find out more and more. And over time,
interesting.
Yeah. Over time, I've read different things, and I've connected to different periods in history. And, you know, the Templars in France, I had sometimes aversion to certain regions of France, and sometimes an attraction to it. And it's different events in history that I don't recall all of them, but there's also other periods in history that I've connected to, and that's what I would urge the guardians to do, to either read about certain periods or certain countries that attract you, and see what you're attracted to or what actually you're really repelled by, and chances are that you had an experience that connects to that country or period in history.
That's very true. So what particular area of the world are you most attracted to?
France, both both in a really good way or in a kind of an attractive way and in a very repellent way.
That is so accurate. I mean, seriously, folks, you probably are saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's like this dear love, and then there's this almost, you know, like detest.
Yes.
Yeah, because of what happened there.
Yes.
Wow.
And you, one thing that I just remembered is that you, deep within you, if you're saying to yourself, I'm a warrior inside, and you really, like, you're like, what? You're saying to yourself, or at least I was, you know, what am I doing in this body? I can seriously kick butt, and I'm a warrior. But you know, in this lifetime, you may be doing whatever you're doing. But those are the kinds of sensations that speak to you from those periods in history or those affiliations that you may have had.
So do you remember me?
Yes, I remember you. I'm very clairsentient, so there's a feeling, and I'm also very clairaudient. And I remember you in a feeling kind of way. And at times I've looked at you and I've seen you in a different light. as a person from a certain time era, a certain era, mm-hmm. and realized, wow, this is, I knew her then, and there's a connection there.
Definitely. So what do you feel, because we've talked about this, what do you feel is the greatest challenge for the Guardians right now? I mean, especially right now, the energies are so intense.
Yeah, that's a really good question too, because it sparks memories of those things that you listed and how so many of us embody those things so intimately. For me, and I think I suspect this is a challenge for many, is that as a guardian, you're probably adept at having set up your life to your liking, so that you, despite what you've been through, you're tactful and insightful and intuitive enough to have made the right moves over time and figured it out. And figured out to the point where you can hide, because essentially this matrix is so harsh on your energy that all you can really do is make your moves to hide, and you're really good at it by now. And I think one of the hardest things is to come out of that hiding and actually come into your full expression of who you really are, what you've come here to do, and basically step out and doing that. We in our lives, when we're in hiding, we may have, we may have a good job, we may have a good situation that we've set up over time with blood, sweat, and tears. But it doesn't maybe speak to your mission. And you know that deep down. And when you start stepping into your mission, you realize, wow, all these things that I considered more important in my life really are not. And really what I came here to do was to do this for the planet. And you're able to, when you're able to step into that, then it sort of snowballs into a deep coming to knowing of yourself.
That's beautiful. I would say, what I'm going through, and I know it's directly related to the energy signature of being a guardian, is there are challenges in the fact that we are so powerful that we really catalyze people that are processing a lot of their own emotional body stuff that's just been stuck.
Yeah.
And, we've tended to go through life, as I've said in prior interviews, with almost an inferiority complex. It's like we can't figure out why this stuff happens to us because we didn't do anything. We could just walk in a room and get attacked, or, we could be at a party and make like a very neutral statement. I mean, this just happened to me. The end of March, writing a very neutral statement to an individual, and man, that just blew up all kinds of stuff. And, I think as a guardian, it's like so imperative to learn. We have huge hearts. We've come here with an immense desire to serve. It's just like part of us. And we're also very wounded because we've been so targeted and hunted, lifetime after lifetime. Like you said, we're always hiding. We're hiding because we're so used to being targeted. And this goes way back. So right now what I'm finding, especially with everybody that I've spoken to, even in my own life, is that for whatever reason, they will choose a guardian. The people that are processing their own garbage, they will choose a guardian to spew their stuff all over. This I have been hearing, okay? And I just want to remind everybody that it's not about you. It's not about you, and it doesn't have anything to do with you, especially when a very volatile relation response is manifested. If you know that you've been completely in, you know, a state of like you're living your life, you're living in your own alignment, you know, you're putting out love. And so I just want to remind people of that. But the other reason I'm bringing that up is the energies are so ramped up right now. And we continue to talk about how there's a compression going on. And one of the things that I think we have not remembered is that there's this compression from above, you know, whether it's Father God's energies, whether it's the allied forces or anything like that, you know, you're noticing more and more if you look at the skies, they aren't getting as blanketed as they were with the chemtrails. So there's obviously some major victories that have been made, which, by the way, I could speak definitely that they have. And then you have the compression from underground. And, you know, for so long we were focusing on clearing the solar system, you know, clearing everything above, you know, and there's been an immense amount of focus on clearing everything below. And this is where it is also a representation of what's within us, because we're clearing everything that's on the outside of us. You know, like, how do we speak to others? How do we honor others? How do we thank and show gratitude to others? But what's going on the inside? And that is the part that's really manifesting right now, because there are phenomenal victories taking action underground. And guess where zero point is? It's on the surface. It's on the surface where we walk. So this is why I'm constantly saying to all of you to remember that as you feel the intensities of these energies, you know, just really try and receive that and imprint it, embed it, you know, funnel it, share it with what is beneath us. It's going to do a marvelous amount of benefits for not only just ourselves, the planet, but those that are actually being called to assist the planet underground. But also, I think there's this very complex thing going on with the males and the females. Like, we talked a little bit about this, where I'm hearing more and more like the feminine aspect, you know, females are going, God, the men are driving me crazy right now. You know, they're really feeling, I'm just saying for me, I want to hear what you think, but for me, they're really feeling stuck. They're feeling lost. Like, you know, these are strong men that, you know, they've just had it going on. They know what they were going to do with their job. They knew what they were going to do with their wife and kids. And they're kind of like finding themselves in this place of no man's land that they've never been before. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. So that gets back to the male and female energy. So what I believe is that as a male, when you're able to express your female energy, then that helps you become a stronger male. And expressing your female energy can be anything, really. It can be just caressing your pet, or talking about your emotions as they happen in sort of a detached way, but honoring them and actually not being afraid of them. Because what happens in this society, and the way that we're programmed, is that we're programmed to repress our emotions. And so many men are programmed like that from the very, very start of their lives. So essentially, I mean, psychologically, people have talked about things like this, where a man, when they're little, they get so much love from their mother, and it's such a beautiful, tender love. And then when they go to school and start being exposed to society more, then all of a sudden, when they express that love, because it's only natural to express it, because it's coming into you, and what we want to do is give and receive and give, or give and receive. So when you start expressing it, we have this programming, societally speaking, that comes in and says, if you express that, then you're a weakling, or you're a, you know, you're not good as a man, which is completely ludicrous. It's, we, you know, we are very, very powerful and very, as human beings, very rich in the quality of our experiences, but being, by being able to express those, both of those female and male energies. And, you know, it helps for a female, it would help her be a more, you know, a more evolved female, and for a male, same thing, a more evolved male.
So, beautiful.
Yeah.
I think too, like, another thing that's being called for all of us to adjust is we have learned and become enlightened in this aspect that, you know, if we see somebody who's really rude or obnoxious or dishonorable or what have you, we're looking at that and we're saying, oh, I understand that, you know, they must have been really traumatized, or they must have had a really bad childhood, or, you know, they've had a bad day at work. And so we tend to try to send them love and forgiveness in the way of understanding where they're coming from. But I think we're also being called that it's not enough. The next level of the new paradigm is being in our own accountability. We're being really called that if we step out of a point of being in a neutral, honorable, respectful space with others, that if we like screw up, we're being called to really own that. And be okay. Like, there's no shame involved in it. There's no, you know, guilt. You know, there's an allowance, finally. It's not like in the 70s when the allowance wasn't there, and even if you said you were sorry, they're still angry with you for 15 years. You know, that's such an old paradigm. And now it's, there's such an allowance and a movement of this kind of light that's on the planet, that it's really supporting those of us that if we haven't stepped out to say, you know what, I really want to take accountability for my behavior. It really was out of line. You can't imagine how much that would enrich the other party's life as well as yours. Just, I think it would blow your mind. So, you know, what do you think about that? I mean, I really feel like this is something else that's come up from conversations with clients and people, is we're all starting to look at, you know, it's not just enough, like, when someone really does something that's very offensive to say, oh, I know they're traumatized.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a really good point. So we're, in society, we're taught that if you do something wrong, then that's bad. If you do something right, then that's good. But that's an illusion. You know, we're just coming here to experience. So we're going to screw up. And if we're going to screw up, you need to own that, own the negativity of that if it feels negative. And know that that's okay. That's something that emanates from you, because you're an experiencer. You're here on an empirical mission, or almost like a reconnaissance mission of this planet. And so, you know, there's no right or wrong to your experiences. You just, if you mess up, then you own it, and you reclaim that space in the future by doing something different, until you hit upon what feels right to you. And that is the process of growth, that is the process of development. And anything that steps in and says, oh, what you're doing is wrong, does not serve you. And it would behoove you for your development, for your own development as a person, to not listen to that and cut it out, and not have it be a part of your space, and say, look, you know, that's all well and good, but I'm going to develop the way I want to and not judge my experiences. You know, it comes down to a highly judgmental society. that through that mechanism is able to kind of restrict your possibilities for growth. Because once you start not labeling things as good or bad or painful or pleasurable, say, then your possibilities for experience start opening up. And then you're able to have a much greater field that you can work with in order to hit upon what you really are, what you really need to do, what your dreams are, and et cetera, and all these things that that are part of growth that we can potentially have as human beings. Mm. And fast, especially now in this time when things have accelerated. And so that growth is ripe for you to have even faster this time around. So it's a good, yeah.
You know, and if you think about it, I mean, society as a whole, pretty much all of us, if you look back at our childhoods, how were we taught to make amends?
We, by saying sorry or...
But then we walked away, we were either forced by our parents,
yeah,
to say, you better say you're sorry to your sister or brother,
yep,
which didn't work,
yep,
because you weren't coming from your heart and you weren't like really coming,
yep,
from a position of love.
It was a forced thing.
Or you really came from a position of love, but then there wasn't like a support in society to receive that apology and really go, God, they really are sincere. They really want to make amends and they want to never do this again. You know?
Yeah.
I do feel this is a time when some old connections might come back into your life and you will, maybe you're already going through this, 'cause I'm hearing this as well. And, you may be getting tested once again by your higher self in the universe to see how well you've set your boundaries of what is your truth and foundation. So forgiveness, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, as a guardian, we have extremely powerful energetic fields. And we are literally forgiving every millisecond of our life because we're constantly, believe it or not, we are seeking out very dark places on the planet. And because of who we are, the way we're wired, we're automatically zoning in on how can we transmute that darkness, because we're here to serve Creator and Mother. So we don't even think about it sometimes. Which is what gets us in trouble in the first place, is we get ourselves up to our eyeballs in very negative situations, maybe, where we have our heart say, I already know this person is really unstable, or they're kind of like very negative, or what have you. But we love them because we can see right through that, we understand what their situation is, and we just want to be either an example, or we want to assist, or we want to help transmute.
Yeah.
I mean, it just comes naturally to us.
Yep, exactly. I mean, the one of the traits that, when you were asking about traits, another one of these traits is that we want to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Doubt, oh my God.
And so that's really, really at our core. And so we immediately, that comes with wanting to see the beauty in someone else. And often as guardians, we immediately home in on it. And so we feel that we're able to hold space for them to develop into that, or come into that beauty on their own. And we're able to help them with that. But what often happens is that we get taken advantage of in a way, because we let it happen, because we are so, we're so powerful that we can step into a high degree of vulnerability in being able to help these different people. And they ultimately have to help themselves. And often through a process, you may be able to get them to do that somewhat, but they may end up, or often actually end up taking advantage of you. And then you step too far. So boundaries is something that we are also working on as guardians to be able to set them appropriately and actually kind of troubleshoot that a bit, or in your experiences, kind of being able to determine, okay, you may miss a certain boundary with somebody, so you tweak it, and with the next person that comes with a similar situation, then you set it more appropriately to preserve your beautiful space, basically.
And that's where I'm going with it, is just because someone comes into your field and for asks for forgiveness or tries to take accountability for a really, let's say it's like a horrific betrayal or a really embarrassing situation, it's great to receive it. It does not mean that you have to take them back into your space. And I just want to give everybody permission for that, because as loving people, we do have a choice to keep our space clean and clear. If that individual has not worked out certain things that are going to continue to kind of muddy the water within your space, you have every prerogative just to make the decision, you know what, this isn't going to serve me. I really appreciate the accountability. I really appreciate the amends. Thank you for that. It already justifies what I already feel to be true and know to be true. But you know what? I wish you well.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is probably one of the number one key things in the spiritual community that trips us up. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, you went back into it because you didn't learn your lesson. I personally feel it's a program. I think it's a program that we've been designed to go back into abusive situations, or situations that really aren't going to ultimately serve us, because we feel like we have to do it, or it's like religious carryover. Like, you know, we both were brought up Catholic, so you've got kind of like this guilt thing, like, you know, I really need to resolve this. But in reality, a lot of times you can resolve things on the inner plane.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to say about that, is that for people that have come into my life that have done damage in my own field and space, I will come to a point where I can forgive them, and I do it on the inner planes. I go into meditation and I see them. They always show up. They have a male, an inner plane counterpart to themselves. And I'm able to talk to them and say, look, you know, thank you for being a good sparring partner that, you know, for any one person that you may have dealt with. Thank you for being a good sparring partner and having taught me certain lessons. And so then you're able to, you don't need to let them back into your life after that. Because what the idea is to preserve your field. You learn how to preserve your field and fill it up with joy and contentment and stay there. And one of the things that we've been tricked, I feel that in this matrix we've been tricked with, is that we're sold on a model that doesn't work, which is at the expense of ourselves, let's help out other people. Like Catholicism will teach you that.
Definitely.
And
most religions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And because being able to help somebody else is, oh, it's humble and it's a good deed. It's what God wants you to do.
Right.
But really, that model in nature has actually been shown to fail every time. Whereas a model in which you empower yourself first, where you take care of the things that you need to do for yourself, and sometimes that takes great energy, and there's very little that you can give to others at any one point in time, because you're growing too, and you're doing your own thing to be able to develop, to raise your consciousness, essentially. But once you get powerful and you feel that you're in a good, solid standing, then you can actually help others. And that help is actually so much more dramatic and impactful. So that model in nature actually has been shown to thrive. So it's really, really a powerful thing. And yeah, that's what I think we're being shown, that that's the way to go.
It's almost as if we're merging with nature as we speak, because the nature kingdom, I just talked to a couple people the other day, and they were like, they had taken the same trip all the way down California, mm-hmm. And it was 2 years ago, and they said they were just depressed because all the trees were dying in certain forests, and they, you know, they were crying and everything. And they came down that same route this year, and they said that just blew their minds because everything was thriving. So it goes to show you that, you know, so much of our surroundings are really supporting us. And you know, as they say, we need to get out of our own way. But I feel strongly compelled to point that out. Very important, if someone comes forth and they really want to make amends, it's very important to allow that space without that looping thought of, oh my God, that means I've got to bring this person back in my life, or oh my God, I got to open myself back up to potential damage, you know, or even go into a damage control situation. You know, only you know what your truth foundation is.
Yeah.
You know, only you. And with I can say this absolutely with the guardians. Probably one of our absolute number one issues with people is betrayal. Absolutely. And this goes so far back into other lifetimes where, you know, we literally were trained in the time of battle. We weren't going out there going, hey, wow, I just want to bludgeon everybody and, you know, and enrage. If you were a Templar, you were literally fighting for the Creator. I mean, it was just a completely different essence than the wars. I mean, not that, don't get me wrong, guys. I mean, I'm not pro-war, okay? But I'm just saying at one time that was a very integral part in the Piscean era, for example, and many, many others. And so we are warriors in spirit because we're freedom fighters. We came here for freedom and justice. We came here to free all living beings from oppression. And we came here to do it in a lot of variety of different ways, not through war, but through all the cool things that people are doing right now. I want to bring up the fact also that every single person that's still like having a J-O-B, and this is another reason I interviewed him today, because I want to talk about this, is there's so many of you out there that have the 3D reality job description, okay? And you will oftentimes say to me, you know, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough. I feel so frustrated because I just wish I could be full time and, you know, but it just can't happen right now because of survival and house payments and children in college and, you know, whatever else. And I'm always saying, yeah, but you are. And I just want to open that up because if you want to contact me, I think I'm going to actually start doing some quick sessions with people and giving you whatever information is needed for you to understand why you're in the job you're in. Okay. But in many cases, you're there because you're collecting intel. You're also there because you have an open door to serve the planet through that vehicle. And when you start really getting clarity on that, it completely changes your reality of dreading to get up every morning and go to a job. When you really get that spirit, I'm getting goosebumps just from head to toe. When you get the fact that the Creator and Source and all of life is providing you a tool, and you look at it as you're going to use it to be able to attain what you really want to be doing, it's a totally different way of responding to your life, huh?
Yeah.
So tell them about how you do that with your J-O-B.
Yeah, exactly. That's another really good point, is that, so we're in these regular jobs that we think, oh, we're so disconnected from society and from being able to make a visible difference. But as guardians, we're extremely talented at being able to have this field that makes a difference wherever we are.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
And in unseen ways, you know, we've been programmed to have low self-esteem by society. So there's stuff that is constantly harping on that. And we don't, you know, so we come out saying we're not making a difference, you know, we're stuck in this job, but really you are, you just by your very presence, you're the loving heart that so many of us have, if not all of us, creates a field around your work that people are changed by. You should know that you're making a huge difference already just by being here and just by being where you are. And in fact, it's quite likely that you've been strategically placed where you are because you need to make that difference that you're making where you are. And all of us are in different jobs and we're thinking kind of isolatedly that, you know, we're lost, that we're not connected to the greater whole and making enough of a difference. But when you are, we're all working in concert in our own jobs to be able to make the differences that are needed for the planet. So whatever, and if you decide to become even more powerful than you are and go on a mission or step into your what you believe your the greater expression of your mission is, you are, that's like gravy to us. It's even more power that you're infusing into your already very powerful role in your job. So, you know, what I would say is, you know, don't put yourself down for being where you are. Just know that you are making an incredible difference just by being a guardian and just by having the feel that you have and all the little nuanced interactions that you might have with people that you think are not making a difference, but it really is. And whatever else you decide to do, we're just all the more grateful and thankful to you for wanting to do that and coming into that expression.
And, you know, I would add to that, that the guardians themselves, there are, we're finding multiple codes that the guardians carry, and they're very unique. And we find that those with, you know, all the codes can do amazing activation work, okay? And so some of us are not there yet. We're kind of cruising down our journey, and we're attaining and receiving them accordingly, you know, whenever that divine timing is or whatever, okay? But what I've also noticed is our first of all, like you said, our mere presence is already catalyzing change. Like, we are changers of our immediate environment. Now, when you get, like, I have four guardians in my house right now, oh my God. I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, we all had to kind of like leave the house because it was so powerful. And it's a good powerful, but it's one where, you know, you kind of have to like acclimate to the radical change and the way that we're catalyzing, you know, just even the way we think. Maybe it's a different expression than what we ever thought we could do before, you know, just something even silly like that. But I think guardians themselves need to understand that because of our immense, powerful energy signature and because of our ultimate drive, there's like this deep, deep drive to represent freedom in some way, okay? And that can show up in a multitude of different ways. But because we have this it's almost like, you know, it's screaming inside of us. We have to do something about it. And you know you're a guardian if you feel that. Like, you know, you hear me say that all the time. You know, as Jeff was telling me the other day, that whole Kali energy of, you know, wanting to destroy evil and making it okay that every living being is living in joy and harmony. Yeah. So that's our role that we play, you know. A whole bunch of us play all different types of roles, but that's kind of what the guardians do. So what comes with that, I mean, if you're all about freedom and justice, guess what? You're going to have some energetic challenges and backlashes for any kind of darkness that's opposing that.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. we're so, you know, freedom is to us is so sweet.
Yes.
And, you know, we're so honed in on that inwardly that we're going to get those challenges because it can happen in any kind of a situation, like in traffic or you may not run across a rude person in your daily life. And you're thinking, you know, I really don't like the nasty energy that came from that rude person. But as a guardian, you're thinking in the long term or after you think about that situation, you're thinking, you know, I may not necessarily like that person's energy now, but I really wish that that person could have the same freedom that I could have to be able to, you know, grow and do whatever they want to do in their true manifestation of who they are. And you wish that for everybody. You wish that on your worst enemy, if you have one.
Yes.
You want them ultimately. I mean, that principle takes precedence over anything else that you might feel.
Exactly.
You know, we want a shot.
Right.
For everybody. At a good, happy life that is not rushed, not matrixed in with any one of these things that we do with our regular job and
yes.
all these other things that keep us from evolving at our own natural rate and being able to explore what we feel like and really kind of taking the time to get to know ourselves and you know, have our own expression and contribution to the cosmos.
Beautiful. Well, and I would say too, this is a time where we're getting prepared for our next earthly mission. And a lot of guardians that I hear from, they think, okay, well, you know, when this so-called event happens, you know, like that's been all over the internet, oh, this event, which personally, I think we're in the midst of it, okay? And some people are like waiting. Okay, which is unfortunate because really it's the time is now. You know, this is the time to be embracing all the changes that are already occurring within you, within your DNA, within Mother Earth, within, you know, I mean, the changes are unbelievable right now. But also just to be clear that you're getting prepared and initiated where you receive the rewards of all those lifetimes and all that intensity and all the hurt and the pain and the suffering and the betrayal and, you know, just the lifetimes of being all alone. Okay. That's like a guardian totally gets that.
Yeah.
Okay. And we are now about to step into being rewarded for that in a big way. We're being prepared to be the up and coming teachers for the planet, literally, you know, very similar to like the way the apostles walked around. We're getting initiated for that. We're getting prepared for that. And anything that's within our field that we have leftovers of, you know, resentment, hostility, jealousy, envy, you know, like an imbalanced emotional state or anything like that, it's time to get on that. It's time to get to work. If that's what you really truly desire, is to be a teacher of the world, a master for the world, to walk the planet and assist all the rest of the, you know, billions of souls on this planet, this is the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's really important.
Completely agree. We're being downloaded with a lot of information and we have the scoop and so many others don't, like almost the entire world doesn't.
Yes.
And so you will have to, you'll be called on to impart that, to impart your knowledge. And it's so nuanced. And there's so many things that you have built upon over time as a guardian that you wouldn't even think that will be applicable once this kicks in, where you need to suddenly you realize you'll see that vision and you'll see that mission. Oh my God, I really need to educate all these people and all these communities, or however you want to do it.
And also, just on top of what you're saying, don't forget, folks, you know, the energetic field that we carry is a natural course of event. It carries a natural course of events to be a teacher. Okay, and it's not just to teach like a little classroom. We've been designed to teach a world.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah,
I just got goosebumps again. So, you know, we're here to teach the masses. We're here to do it in a big way. You know, from some of the messages I've received is that the guardians are going to start beginning to receive their gifts that they've always had, maybe one or two or whatever, just to start, but only when they are really clear that they can handle that.
Yeah.
And that means making sure you work on getting back to the beginning of this conversation, which is working on the mental and the emotional bodies if they're stuck. So, you know, every single day that we are out and about, we are presented with data.
Yeah.
That data, we take it in, we process it, and depending on how we react to it, if we're reacting to something, if we're being triggered by something, and it could be something very neutral, it is time for us to go look inside our own closet and say, okay, there's something, you know, there's something really deep about this that I haven't either looked at or addressed or what have you. And it's not like the 1980s where you have to go through the pain. You know, you got to like suffer and understand why you were so hurt and how terrible things are at that time and really digest your feelings. You don't have to do that anymore. The light and the company of heaven is like right there. There's so much less blockage and there's so much more receptivity. They're just waiting for us to say, hey, can you help us release this now? And those releases are going on all the time. It's just you believing that that is available to you and doing it like that. It is like that.
Yeah, completely agree. I know that as a guardian, like one of the biggest things that I am, probably the most fundamental thing that I am, that I feel in myself,
besides shy. Have you guys noticed? Okay. He is so shy, he hasn't been able to look at the camera.
Yeah, no. I know, you know, and this is actually, for me as a guardian, it's a stepping out exercise.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a big deal for us to be able to do that. I was going to say about teaching, though, that I had the fortune to have been a teacher in the 1990s.
Really?
Yeah, I was a Spanish teacher and as a English as a second language teacher for Berlitz.
Wow.
And it was a small experience, but it was enough to get a taste of myself as a teacher and how much I truly enjoyed it. I was in such joy doing it, just like an unbelievable joy. And also the interaction with other teachers was extremely fulfilling. And so you know that there's a certain calling there, a certain frequency match that's deep down for us to do that. And yeah, so and like she said, I totally agree that she would that is going to come to you as soon as you align and kind of intend to go in that direction. You know, that will unfold for you beautifully and in an immediate way, not like before, because this is the event, like you said, and those that quickening that's been going on for so many years now.
Yeah,
that is the event, and that's what's bringing us to clear the way for us to be able to step into that role with ease and grace.
Truly, truly. So yeah, we're all getting really prepared. I mean, that's like the most exciting part is we're getting prepared to be these walking masters. you know, to go and teach. And that teaching is going to come, it's going to really blossom into a multidimensional opportunity as other masters visit us, you know, because that's going to happen if it isn't already. Okay.
Yeah.
That's already happening probably. But, you know, I think the other thing that I want to bring up is when I'm speaking to women, and, you know, there's a lot of Sisters of the Rose out there. There's a lot of high priestesses out there that, you know, communicate with me. There's kind of a consensus, Gonzalo, that we almost don't know if there's like a man out there like the days of the knights.
Yeah.
You know, we're almost like waiting for them to show up.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? You're coming from a male's perspective.
Yeah, no, I feel that too. You know, it's time for us guys to really, you know, step into that mastery, because many of us have quietly known that dual expression that we need, especially with the divine feminine having come in. Because up to now, the repression of this planet and being able to maintain the matrix has been really to be able to maintain the imbalance of driving that through a male energy, a masculine energy. But now that the divine feminine energy has come in to help out and balance the planet, then we also need to be the expression of that. And many of us are actually quite close to being able to step into that role and being able to manage to express it. It's just a matter of doing it. I know that there may be also some men that are not in that place yet, but we need to step in to that role and disseminate to those other men that, you know, teach them how to be, that it's okay to express your feminine energy and to know that we are these very powerful beings that can express both, and that enhances your own male masculine energy. And that we can all be that way, and that will be in step with the balancing that's going on in the planet, and we'll all be able to evolve and ascend from that.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the other thing that the women, the divine feminine, is looking for is men to step up from more of a like a virility, a fearlessness. It's not, how do I say this? It's not from that paradigm of, you know, oh, I got to be the best and competitive and ambitious and drive and rah, you know, it's more of like stepping in and just like your commanding presence is just so calm and peaceful and loving.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a father, like a really strong together father would be. You know, I think women are really wanting that from men, you know, just that desire for you to kind of fill up the room with your presence, and the woman feeling like, oh, God, I can kind of relax a little bit because they're there by my side. They're there to watch my back, you know, or catch me if I fall.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point also. Yeah. And that's, definitely something that we need to step into. And there's the masculine energy, hold on a second.
It's okay. It's okay.
We need to, like I said, we need to step into that. It'll come to me what I was going to say. Sorry, but
just the way men kind of man up, like taking the more of a virile, gallant. I mean, I really, you know, think about it. Why are we both males and females? Why is there such a fascination of the time of Camelot? And you, first of all, the way it's presented in all of these different depictions is maybe not even necessarily true, but that whether it is or not, it still is a period of time that there's such a fascination, there's such a love, there's such a drive to bring that back home. You know, just if we all believe that Camelot was ultimately the life of truly all males and females just working completely cohesively together. There was no hang-ups. But at the same time, the men very much allowed the women to be just as strong, just as, you know, involved. In fact, Queen Guinevere, she ran the show while Arthur was gone.
Yeah.
Okay. And the men were so confident in their own right of who they are, in their own individuality, their own identity, that they were okay if there was a strong woman in their presence, and yet they still never hesitated to honor them as a lady.
Yeah.
They didn't look at it as a subservient connotation like some men do today.
Exactly. So I totally remembered what I was going to say. Because there's an important paradigm shift here. But it seems as though in those times we embody the paradigm that we're stepping into. Mm-hmm. There's this ego-driven, let's take charge and or let's compete with one another, and I can only get ahead by stepping on you, or you know, those kinds of things,
or pushing you down,
or pushing that, exactly, pushing you down, and you know, what my you know, I will only gain benefit by opposing you and not working with you as a team member or as in a collaborative fashion. And now, and that's something that the feminine energy is actually bringing in, that we can collaborate with one another. And that is going to be ultimately what's going to drive our success. And in those times of Camelot, that was very much understood, because men and women got that they needed to work with one another to bring about the dream society that they wanted. And they both acknowledged their powers very well, or very respectfully. And yet there was such an eloquence and such a joy, actually, in treating one another the way they did, you know, on the male side, with being gallant and being just so
knightly.
So yeah, knightly, exactly, in recognition of how beautiful and powerful women are, and women also that in itself brings about your own masculine virile energy, and women, that triggers women to recognize that in you. And so it's a virtuous circle that is so powerful and so so great to experience.
So what you're saying is that just the mere respect of,
yes,
of the female race, just the respect of what women carry,
yes,
and what they hold, just that essence right there is going to be a game changer for,
absolutely,
women responding to men.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful.
Yes. I mean, you have to recognize just how powerful the feminine energy is, and what women can bring forth to the table. Mm-hmm. It's and I'm always in awe of it. And I suspect that the ideal scenario would be for both of us to be in awe of each other as we evolve in time. And women, guys, are, you know, they're, you know, this is a no-brainer for so many of us, that they're not to be disrespected. You know, they're to be treated with kindness and as a contributor to your life and you to theirs. And they're not unequal. You know, we're on the same playing field. And it behooves us to bring about that freedom that we're all so craving for inside. It behooves us to treat them equally and to work with one another and draw out our strengths.
Good point.
As we see them in one another.
Yeah, because how do we attain freedom if we deny or dishonor a part of who we are?
Yeah.
I mean, if we look at our chromosomes and if we look at our DNA, I am made up of stuff from my father and my father's lineage as much as my mother's, you know, and we have definitely divine feminine and masculine playing within each and every one of us. It's just a question of what percentage and what ratio you have going.
Yeah.
And everybody's is different and cool, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't do one without the other.
Yeah.
We just can't. And we've actually been conditioned to believe we can.
Yeah.
We really have.
And that is the wrong conditioning, really, yeah, for bringing about what we want for ourselves, for society. That's without trying to use labels as wrong or right, we want to hit on what works, and that does not work. You know, that brings about these imbalances in which women are not treated with respect, and that hurts all of us. It doesn't just hurt them. You know, that hurts you just as much.
Yes.
You are essentially punishing yourself when you're disrespecting women. And I just cannot stress that enough. And that to me is such an elemental and basic thing. But I realize that maybe, you know, people will need to think about that and start to bring it in, because I really believe that that's what's going to make a difference in us being successful and bringing about the society that we want.
Yeah. The divine masculine, for sure, stepping up,
yep,
to that role.
Yep.
I think, you know, I love men, and I do. You know, my dad was one of my best friends, and one of my best friends growing up for 22 years was a male. You know, I get how they tick, basically, just being around them all that time from the time I was a little kid. I think I would turn that around to women too. I mean, it's just so important and imperative that we learn to honor the challenge and the difficulty that they have in their journey. I don't even know how to say this, but it's like we have broken free. I'm not saying on a physical level that, you know, I mean, obviously we have prostitution, we have, you know, women being sold off like chattel, you know, so on and so forth. But we have really gotten to a place. I mean, women that are in the spiritual community, we really are working very well together. We really get it, because we've been so pushed down for so long in the last, you know, Piscean world age that, you know, we get it. We know it's not going to work if we don't work together. And I think for men, it's really important for us to, like, we have to have patience almost right now, but also look at them not just with compassion, but understand that it's, how do I say this, Gonzalo? It's almost as if that was a huge sacrifice on the part of men to be programmed literally where they've virtually been isolated from the heart of a woman, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying like we don't have relationships and that we don't love our wives and that kind of thing, but I'm talking more like that really deep connection, that openness to be able to have a great cry. You know, my father and I used to talk about this. He says, you know, one of the most powerful men on the planet is one who will sob, you know, and actually, you know, that's more of a man than one who's not able to express that, because he's really being authentic.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you think about it, men have been so severely programmed not to be able to be authentic, even though they desire to.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's one of our biggest problems, because men are actually highly, highly sensitive.
Very much so.
And there has to be a way to express that sensitivity. And if it's not there, then it's extremely difficult. Men are severely hampered by that. And that already brings about a totally dysfunctional order. And, you know, one of the ways in which you can, for example, interact with a woman in order to be supportive is to, supportive of her, is to be able to solidarize with her. So when she's going through, say, a cry or something difficult, be there for her in a solidary way, not by trying to fix what's going on, but rather by just being there with them.
Yeah, just being and holding the space.
That's all you need to do, just be there.
Yeah.
Because
just hold her.
Yes,
say it's gonna be okay, I'm right by your side.
Exactly.
That's, by the way, men, that's what women want to hear. It's gonna be okay. I love you. I love you for who you are, and I'm gonna be by your side.
Yep.
Seriously.
Yep, exactly. I'm not gonna go away. I'll be here.
Or I understand
exactly
this virtue.
I sympathize with your plight.
But you don't have to fix it. And in fact, no, women don't want you to fix it.
They hate that.
Yeah, you know, they do. They don't like it at all.
No, but
so
you know, they're totally missing the point by doing that. Even though as men, we've been trained to do that so much that it's the immediate thing that we do. And even when even as we're trying to be supportive and being there with them, we're still, our brains are still churning to see how we can fix the situation. Yeah.
And it's true. It's so true. Yeah. And yet, you know that they mean well.
Yes.
But it just kind of throws fire.
Yeah.
Or what do you call it?
It stokes the fire.
It stokes the fire, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's not a... It's because that's a key moment for women to be able to be supportive in that way. And that actually eases the bond that you have overall and makes it easier to get through the issue.
Mm.
If you go set about to fix it and not be there for her, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's you have your own stuff going on and you can barely hold space for her to be able to do that. But it's key because if you do that, then you'll be able to see your relationship grow and see yourself through the issues that happen. Because she'll do that for you too, and you may not even realize that. But she's doing that for you, and she's helping you get through stuff that way. And that's how the feminine energy is able to help out relationships.
I think too, men don't feel like they're allowed to or that they should emote and let their hair down and maybe cry, you know, and just release that emotional part of them that's just all tied up inside. Because that program that's been played over and over and over again, boys don't cry, boys have to be strong, boys have to hold the space, boys have to do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, don't sit and cry about it. My God, that's not going to work. That's not going to help anything. But what a bunch of crap that is.
Yes.
You know, and it hasn't served the divine masculine or the divine feminine at all. So, you know, I've really felt strongly and compelled to have an interview like this. And honestly, I've talked to Gonzalo now for what, a month and a half, maybe two months. And I just said, you know, I just felt like he was such a good combination of that male strength. He's really confident in who he is. He knows he's really good at what he does, but he's also got that whole, you know, I really honor women and, you know, wants to treat them well and really respects them wholeheartedly and keeps an open platform to allow them to speak. And frankly, that's what women are really needing and wanting right now. We want men to kind of catch up with us emotionally because we all know we can emote very easily, most of us.
Yeah.
And men can't at this stage. You know, it's not a comfortable.
Exactly.
It's really tough. I've had several male clients say, God, you know, I just went into my car and I just lost it the other day. And I said, good.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, that's how we heal, actually. We, by letting out a good cry, that's us shifting our energy and our vibrations to let go of what we don't need. And that often, if not always, comes through a cry. And it's so, so necessary. And you can do it just and women get that, and women do it much more often, and that enables them to be healthier overall and on their path. And if men, which I'm sure there's a lot of men that cry alone, because that's their only chance to be able to emote, that they allow themselves, because society is not allowing them to be that way. But it's ridiculous, because we, like I said, we're highly sensitive, and in a way, I wouldn't say that we're catching up emotionally, because we're already there. We just need to find the valve or the way to express that emotion. And that's what needs to change, essentially, is for you to allow yourself to be able to do it and not be afraid of it. Because what society is telling you, and sometimes maybe through your peers or even your family, is a bunch of crap about men not emoting. That's not going to take us anywhere.
No,
I can tell you that.
And you know, I appreciate what you said, because the conversations that I've had throughout my life until, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, where a guy and I are sitting on a couch and we're like really getting into some heavy conversation, and they've broken down, you know, and they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And they're all embarrassed and everything else. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I want to remind anybody that is with a guy who wants to, you know, finally release and let go. And I'm preparing the divine masculine, anyone out there who's really feeling this stuff bubbling up, it feels like they're just going to explode inside. It's coming. You can't press it down much longer. And that's one of the reasons I felt really compelled to do this interview, is because it's impacting anybody that you're around, because eventually you're going to either blow, or you can do it in a manner where you pull your significant loved one, even if it's a best friend, a guy friend.
Yeah.
And you just need to go in a room and say, look, I just need to let this out. And I need to know it's okay. And you're going to be non-judgmental and just allow this to unfold. Do it. It's like one of the most incredible things you could be doing, not only for yourself, not only for the person that you honor to allow you to hold that space with you, but for the planet.
Yeah.
Because don't forget what guardians do. They hold this massive energetic plane and grid. We have very large grids, and we're processing all of this density. We're processing it and we're transmuting it. And in whatever way we can kind of keep doing that, let's talk about bodies. You know, a lot of guardians, we have a lot of injuries. We have a lot of chronic stuff. Why is that? Have you ever thought about why that is? A lot of you healers already know the answer to this. We are packed with lifetimes of brutal bloodshed, wars, being hung, being crucified on a cross, being drawn and quartered, being tortured, being burned at the stake. I mean, we are the ones that suffered those kinds of experiences, okay? We didn't have really fun ending lifetimes.
Yeah.
And we've carried that in a big way in this lifetime through cellular memory. And our responsibility really to ourself is to release that, work through it, and let it go.
Yeah.
Big time.
And it often has a heavy emotional component, because those experiences are not just physical. You may have been betrayed by your best friend, and that led you to be hung. Or you may have lost a battle that was really crucial, and you died in battle, and all your hopes were dashed from it. And it can be emotional things like that that also embed themselves in cellular memory. So the release of it is an emotional one as well. Exactly. And so when it comes through a cry, or it comes however you want to do it.
Good point.
And, you know, that is an integral part of it. And when you let that go, then you find that it's the physical part of it also releases with ease, or with more ease.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because we're made up of so many different body levels. They all contribute to dis-ease. You know, so you have your physical, your emotional, your mental, your spiritual, on and on and on. I'm going to give an example. I worked with a client who had a great deal of difficulty making decisions. And it got to a point where it was impacting this person so severely that when we delved in to find out what was really causing it, this is what happened. What was shown and seen was that she was standing in the middle of a battlefield, and she was a guy at the time. And she was just exhausted, and she had blood all over her, and she was, you know, she was a male. She was holding her sword down. She could barely even hold her sword, let alone pick it up, because she was exhausted. And she was standing literally in a perimeter of all dead bodies. And there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of bodies around her. And all of her inner circle who stood around her to protect her, they were all dead. And the enemy was dead. And the only person standing alive was she herself. And she stood there and she said to herself, how could this have happened? How could this be? She reviewed all the things that brought her to that place when she was leading her troops. She went in that morning and put on her, she got her sword and her attire for the battle and everything, looked into the mirror and breathed like a sigh of, I don't want to do this because I already know what's going to happen. And apparently those higher up really heavy-handedly gave her, you know, which was him, a final, like, you have to do this or else. And she knew in every fiber of her being that this was going to end up a failure. And what happened was the intel that the higher ups were given was sabotage. And basically the intel was to lead them into this particular location where this camp was so that they didn't have a prayer, because they basically got into a valley and they got trapped. And she stood there at the end of her, you know, of the battle, and she looked around and she's like, I can't do this anymore. And she killed herself. So she, you know, basically leaned over and stabbed herself in the gut, you know, and, you know, to kill herself with her own sword. In this lifetime, she's had nothing but digestive issues, countless. I mean, she's done all kinds of diets. She's done all kinds of, you name it, every therapy that she can possibly imagine to clear this. But that is what the ultimate underneath it all was. So that shows you how powerful a past life will affect the health of this lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can't get through this and you need assistance, Galactic Connection has a gazillion different tools. We have Galactic Energetic Solutions, which is coming online, which is just flipping amazing. Okay, it's like consciousness-based technology that's working with already the healing abilities of myself and others. You know, that's a possibility. We've also got a couple of healers on board. We're hoping to bring Gonzalo maybe on board in the future. He's a healer. You know, so my point is, don't underestimate the compilation and the complexity of who we are. We are carrying a lot of different memories, a lot of different timelines, a lot of different planet timelines. We're carrying all these complexities to bring this situation that we've come to with victory.
Yeah. We are nuanced. And what she described was just one lifetime. And as guardians, we have had countless experiences like that. So, and just coupled with being so unique and nuanced, you know, they can influence us in so many different ways in this current lifetime in our bodies, but in all our different bodies, like Alexandra mentioned, because we have our emotional bodies and mental body. And, you know, it's just it's a process for us that, and that's one of the other traits, I think, that we've been constantly working at healing ourselves, trying out different modalities and seeing what works, and we're adept at mixing and matching and being able to
very adaptable in.
Yeah, exactly. And these healings often involve layers of trauma that you need to clear. And so just when you think that you have healed yourself completely on any one issue, no, you haven't. Sorry to tell you, there's another layer underneath that you still have to go into it and heal. So it's a work in progress. It's a struggle at times, but it's also our calling because we're healers. So many of us are, and we enjoy actually doing that. And it's a challenge in and of itself. And it's also what we're here to do.
And we're here. And while we're doing this healing, like I've said before, whatever our galactic signature is, whatever our tonal signature is, and whatever our frequency band is, we're healing all those other people on those frequencies. Okay? That's what guardians bring to the table. It is a huge gift to the planet.
Yeah.
Guardians actually are a huge gift to the planet.
Yeah.
We just don't know that. Okay? Because what I see for the guardians right now is we've been so conditioned to feel helpless, persecuted, isolated, unappreciated, unacknowledged. You know, those are the kind of the common themes with guardians. And all of that like is about to change. The main thing about this interview is to remind you that you've got to make the decision that it is open to you now in a totally different way. All the lifetimes of abuse and suffering and war and bloodshed and betrayal and all those things, okay, we're now bringing that to a close. So the guardians must make a decision. The decision is based on, do I really believe, do I intend, do I desire to really create this new earth? Because we are the creators too, right? In a big way, I might add. And those thought patterns, they've got to be castigated, overcome, eradicated, removed, released, what have you, so that you can truly reap the rewards of what's been promised to you.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in incredibly exciting times.
Yeah.
Incredibly exciting times.
Exactly. Your experiences, as many as they are, they're a gift to the planet because you've been through so much trauma here and there that you've gotten immense amount of wisdom that you'll be able to impart to the planet when the time comes. And that time is now, actually. That time is for you to step out now and be able to start giving of yourself to that effort, to that mission.
Yeah, right on. So I think we could talk about all kinds of things, but that's today's topic. And I may be doing more of these. I'm being called to do more of these types of interviews. And doesn't mean I'm not going to still interview other people, so don't worry about that. But for now, just want to remind everybody, Galactic Connection does run a blog free, okay, 365 days a year. It costs a lot of money to keep this thing going, and we do have a lot of interference, and we do have a lot of people messing with our PayPal buttons. So please, please, please consider assisting us, supporting us in any way you can. Even if you are looking to volunteer, especially if you've already gone through the implant removal process, we would love to talk to you. And Galactic Connection offers a variety of different services. You've had your implant removal.
Implant removal.
Soul alignment.
Soul alignment.
DNA sequencing.
Yep.
What else did you?
Guardian Protection Initiation.
What did you feel from the Guardian Protection Initiation?
Oh, it's great. The beauty of it is that it was balanced with the essences and the oils that came along with it. And I was able to step that much more into my mission and be able to clear some of the obstacles that have been there that kind of repeat themselves. Self-talk that you can't do it seems to clear away. And that's what I took from it.
Good. It's a really powerful process. Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, definitely check it out. And then we have the past life clearing with Jerry Yeska. Yeah. That's a really interesting process. That's where you're really going into all your different lifetimes. And with that one, I make personalized essences and personalized oils. So it's like very specifically made just for you, just for your blueprint, you know. But anyway, you know where to reach us. We, as always, are here to serve, and we love you, and we love all the guardians and all the ground crew and all those that are there just walking alongside us to get this job done. So please continue to send in any questions maybe regarding divine feminine, divine masculine, like challenges and concepts, because I am feeling like this is something that we're all talking about a lot.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it a lot from people, and I hope it's helping you as much as it's helping me, because then when I talk to him, it helps me. So I figure it'll help you.
Yeah.
So anyway, take care. Don't forget to check out on VBS Radio. You can hear this, or we have iPod. We also have Vimeo. We have YouTube, and we also have the blog itself. Our new site is about to go up pretty soon. Keep your eye out for it. And hopefully you'll like it as much as we do. So lots of love. Namaste. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Take care.